I was thinking of what the writer of Hebrews says when he said, let us labor to enter in to the rest of Christ. And, you know, many men, religious men, and it's written in the heart of men. This is just the way that men are by nature, that we think that we can labor to do something for the Lord, to the Lord, or whatever. But our only labor, the only labor that we're called to, is to trust Him, to wait upon Him. And the hardest thing for a man to do is to wait on the Lord. You know, men want to move forward. They want to do something big. I think back to David when he wanted to bring the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. And he didn't spare any expense. You know, build a new ox cart. Put two of his finest men. Picked them out, hand-selected them. These are my finest men. I want them to be driving this ox cart when we bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And, you know, if you're familiar with Scripture, you know what happened. God smote Uzzah dead because he reached out his hand to steady the ark, because the ark of God, the presence of God, he doesn't need any aid. And it's not within the power of men to bring anything to the Lord. He's brought salvation to us. What a glorious thing. And you know, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And only as he teaches a man can he get a grasp of that. You know, the woman taken in adultery, she learned that. So she was justly condemned and she knew it. She was caught. She was without excuse. And the Lord said, neither do I condemn thee. She entered into his rest. What a glorious thing. That woman at the well, she thought about her religion. She said, Lord, which one of these religions is really the best? I mean, you Jews say that we ought to worship in Jerusalem, but we, you know, Samaritans, we believe that we should worship in this mountain where we are. But she entered into the rest of the Lord because she said, come and see a man that told me everything that I ever did, because the Lord stripped away all the refuge she had. I mean, she didn't have anything left. What a glorious thing it is when the Lord causes man to see that. You know, as long as a man's striving and carrying on and he's going to serve God and he's going to do all these things, but when the Lord is pleased to teach a man his weakness, then the man will be strong. And not until such happens. Because all men think by nature they can do something for the Lord. They think they got it within their power. Whether it's even just to call upon the Lord. They think they can do that. Well, last week we were looking in Psalm 78 and we looked at verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. And, you know, that's an interesting passage of Scripture, interesting language that's used there. They limited the Holy One of Israel. And of course some who in ignorance have tried to say, see there, that proves that men can stymie God. They can do something that keeps God from doing something. The Lord can't do anything unless we let him do it, or whatever some foolishnesses they come up with. But God not limited in any way. David said, our God's in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. How foolish for men to think that there's any limitation upon God that would arise out of anything they could think, do, or say. And so that's not at all what the Scripture means when it says that they limited God. How did they limit God? It means that they did not believe God. They thought He was limited. That's how they limited Him, and that's how men limit God today, is that they do not believe He's an absolute sovereign. They do not believe He's a God that rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. They think that they're going to do some things that's going to help God along the way. You know, people are, this very day, from pulpits across the land, encouraged, people are being encouraged to do something for God. You need to go out here and do something for God. I mean, God's in need of you to do something. Send your money, do your time and talents and all these things, and bring them to the Lord. The Lord gave men everything that they have. And they can't bring anything to the Lord that He hadn't given to them. And how foolish it would be for a man to think that he could in any wise aid the work of God. This is the work of God, that ye believe on His name. That's the work of God. When you see men believing in His name, then you've seen the work of God, because He's the one that performs that in men. The gift of faith, where does it come from? It doesn't come from within, it comes from above. Nicodemus, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. And so it is. And so we've gone over this. I mean, the Lord, I'm going to read a little further here. It says, they remember not His hand nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy. Now he's speaking about the nation of Israel. And, you know, and I've probably said this before. I'm like a broken record. I say mostly about the same thing all the time anyway. But they thought, you see, that they were going to enter into the promised land immediately. They thought they were going to do so without any troubles or problems. And they didn't know what the Lord had in mind for them. But when troubles came their way, they murmured against Him. And they did not believe Him. Now we say, and I've heard men say, and I've probably said it myself, well, you know, if I'd have been among them and walked through the Red Sea and seen all this great deliverance, man, I'd have believed right on. You ever heard anybody say that? Man, if I could have just been there and seen those miracles, I'd just be serving the Lord every day. I mean, I wouldn't have any doubts or whatever. Well, you'd be a lot different than those people that saw those things, because they saw these things and many of them turned aside. I mean, the Scripture says that, you know, preachers think, by and large, that the better that they're communicating and telling the truth, the bigger the crowds are going to be. Well, the Lord Jesus, He didn't know that. Because He went the other way. When He started off, the crowds flocked to hear Him. They saw the miracles. They ate the food and all this. But after a while, they grew weary of the things that He said. And they said, you know, this stuff here, we ain't interested in this. I mean, we want to see some miracles. We want these things, but we're not interested in hearing the truth. I mean, and many turned aside, the Scripture says, and walked no more with Him. Many of those that started the way. Nothing's more common than folks that start out in the gospel. I remember when I was a kid, they'd have these things they called revivals. And they'd have some big old high-powered preacher would come in, and he'd make the shirt tail, make you your... He'd preach, you know, some scary stuff and tell you all about the end of the world and all these things that was going to happen, and make your shirt tail run up and down your back like a window shade. And you'd be, you know, people would be all stirred up, and they'd give this invitation, and just people would come down and they'd rededicate their life and they'd get right with God and they would, you know, get saved and all this stuff. And then about a month later, wasn't anything different than it ever was. You know, half of them had done gone back to whatever they was doing, and they you know, so what happened? They were just being men. They were like men are. Now, only by the grace of God will a man walk with the Lord. That's the only way it happens. It doesn't happen because the preacher's a good preacher. I mean, how foolish of men to think that God saves men because the preacher's good. No. God saves men because He wants to save men. And He saves those whom He will. He shows mercy to those whom He will show mercy. And it was not in the hand of the Lord to show mercy to all of the nation of Israel. It was in the Lord's hand to show mercy to Israel. He's always shown mercy to Israel. All Israel shall be saved, but they are not all Israel which are of Israel. You know, those that appear to be Israel, or those that appear to be Christians in the present time, that would have you believe that they are. And I'm not, I don't know, I don't have the list. I don't know who is and who isn't. But I tell you this, and that is that any man that's ever saved is saved by the grace of Almighty God and not by anything that he undertook to do, believe, say, think, or anything else. It's because the mercy of God visited him and showed him the glories of Christ. And see, that's the place. You know, that's what the woman at the well saw, was it not? The glory of Christ. She said, "Is not this man the Son of God? Is this not him?" Those men on the road to Emmaus, when the Lord met with them, and they didn't know him. I've often thought, wondered how that was, but the Lord hid himself from them somehow right in their very midst. And when he left, they said, "You know, that was the Lord." I mean, did not our heart burn within us? I mean, did we not see the glory of God? How wondrous it is. And so the nation of Israel, they saw all these things. They saw how the Lord, how he wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers into blood, their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain which his right hand had purchased. Now, the Lord has purchased that kingdom which is his. The kingdom of God, not flesh and blood. But the kingdom of God is those people in whom the Lord is pleased to dwell. This is the mountain. This is that purchased possession which belongeth to him. Yet if I set my king upon what? My holy hill of Zion. Now where is the Lord Jesus Christ king? He's not king to the world in their mind. Now we know that he is the king over the earth. There's not a thing that transpires that's not under his rulership, but the men of this world, they don't own him as king. He came before Pilate. Pilate questioned him, says, Are you a king? Of course, he was mocking him, basically. Say, here you are. You know, I can put you to death anytime I want to. Are you a king? He said, you say I'm king. He said, for this end came I into the world, and that is to bear witness of the truth. See, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And that's exactly what He told Pilate. Pilate couldn't see it, nor did he care, because he was a man pleaser. But all of that was in the hand of the Lord, bring to pass as He saw fit. But He led His own people out. He brought them to the border of His sanctuary, even to this mountain which His right-handed purchased. He cast out the heathen before them, and divided an inheritance by line, made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not His testimonies. That is the saga of mankind, is it not? Even the children of God, even those whom the Lord has shown mercy to, have been unthankful. And the greatest grief that is brought upon the sons of God is when they survey their own heart and see how little that they have valued the grace and mercy and kindness of God. Why should He not cast us off? Now, you know, there's a lot of people could probably come up with some good reasons. I never have been able to. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost visit him? I mean, why hadn't the Lord just destroyed us? I don't know. Except that it's in the mercy of God to show mercy to those whom He loves. And what a glorious God we have. How wondrous He is. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and only those that stand in need are going to seek it. And you can't make a man have a need for Christ. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you tell him. I don't care how many sad songs you sing or tell him about grandma and mama and all that stuff in heaven. And until the Lord gives a man a need for Christ, he'll never come to him. But the Lord came to save the needy. And that's who we preach the gospel to. See, the gospel says, unto the needy, come unto me. And he will in no wise cast out a needy man. Broken in a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Oh, that the Lord might give us a mind and heart to call on Him.